Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled The Glory Restored. And our text is 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 15. And this was a time in which David had purposed in his heart to bring the Ark of God, which represented the literal physical presence and glory of God on the earth, to ancient Israel. He wanted to bring it into the city of David. And so we're going to take some time and look not only at what God required at that time, but what we see His laws, His principles are for the very time in which we're living. If we really want the power and the presence of God in our gatherings, in our services, in our churches, in the body of Christ, then we are going to have to follow the scriptural pattern that God has laid down in the Word of God to experience the power and the presence of the Lord. Yesterday, I shared that beautiful passage out of, I think it's 1 Chronicles, where the temple that Solomon completed was filled with the glory of God because God's people were in unity, they were in one accord, and they were praising God, and God's glory descended in such a way the priest could not stand to minister. Oh, may that occur in our presence, in our midst these days. You see, God is looking at the heart. He's not interested in an outward show of religion, but He knows those who are sincerely seeking His face. And God has always had a faithful remnant. And it's my prayer that there are those who will turn their heart completely, wholeheartedly to the Lord and serve and love Him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is the greatest and the first of the commandments, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Praise God. And so as we look at that 6th chapter of 2 Samuel, and I won't take the time to read it, but basically David gathered chosen men of Israel, 30,000 of them. He said, let's bring up the Ark of the Lord into the city of David. And so it says, they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And there were two sons of Abinadab, Uzzah and Ahio, and they drave the new cart. They were responsible for seeing that it was going in the proper direction and in the way that it was to be transported. However, what we see here, if you can hear it, are a form of religionists, if you will. There are those that have the outward appearance of godliness and service to God, but their hearts are really not stayed on the Lord, if you will. Because if these were priests, if these were those who had safeguarded the ark for a long time, which they had, because after the ark was restored from the land of the Philistines, after it was captured, when the sons of Eli died for their wickedness, then what we see is that they were ignorant and had not applied themselves to knowing the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the book, the Pentateuch, if you will, the five books of Moses that had been given to them. And unfortunately, it seems their descendants are still with us today. There are those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They have a show of sanctity, but their actions appeal to the pride and vanity of the mind and heart of men rather than God's pleasures and decrees. There are so many churches that have lost their first love. They are going in the way of the world. They're becoming seeker-friendly. They don't want to offend people. They'd rather not preach the whole counsel of God because they don't want to offend people. They don't want to really talk about the blood of Jesus. That's a little gory. You know, people can't relate to that. There are, beloved, if your church is that way, thank God. But there are those who are compromising. And instead of looking to God's heart and seeking Him, they chose to do what seemed good to their own mind and heart. Moses had specifically commanded Israel by the word of the Lord that the children of the Levites should bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with staves thereon. The instructions that God gave to Moses were incredibly detailed, and you can read them all in the Old Testament. And so what do we see? You know, they were not aware of it. They didn't care. They thought a new car would be sufficient. Well, let's do this. They thought that was a good idea. But beloved, man's programs, the things that we think are going to, you know, build the church, that's not going to make it. It's personal responsibility. That was what was symbolic by the Levites carrying the weight of the ark upon their shoulders. The government shall be upon his shoulders. What? Messiah, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And so that represents their personal responsibility before God. The ark of God, God's presence, will not be borne on wheels, which is what they were doing, which is basically, what was that? A cart? It was a symbol of man's ingenuity and invention. Instead, upon the shoulders of those who were willing to carry the burden of the Lord. And you see, that's true today. No, we don't have a physical ark carrying the presence of God, but we carry the burden of the Lord within our spirits. Those who have been called by God, those who love God with all of their hearts, we are willing to surrender our agenda, our program, our plans, our ideas, our opinions, to do things God's way. And when we do it God's way, there is great success. So anyway, going back to chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, they were rejoicing before the Lord until that unfortunate incident when the oxen stumbled. Uzzah put forth his hand to steady the ark, which again, to man's mind, sounds, you know, that's a help. That was a good thing. Why was he killed? Well, because God was very specific. And as the very presence of God was being brought into the midst of the people of Israel, it would not do for God to allow presumption and disobedience and rebellion to his prescribed word of the Lord. It says, verse 7, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And so what we see here, it says David was displeased because of what happened. And then, of course, the celebration came to a dead standstill. And we see represented in Uzzah a self-confident professor, someone that is familiar with holy things, but they don't have an understanding heart. And that will lead to presumption and ultimate death, because that we see that happening in terms of the apostasy in the church world today. There are those who are saying, well, you know, yeah, the Word of God says that, but we need to be relevant and pertinent for the culture and the times in which we are living. And what we see is man's exaltation of their own thought process, their own opinion. It's the ego and pride of man as opposed to divine decree. Remember, I mean, we're not going to concentrate just on this one incident, but you remember the very sons of Aaron? It says, early in those days when the priesthood was being established and being consecrated, it said his sons, Nadab and Abihu, the very sons of Aaron, they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not, and a fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And so, beloved, the ark of God contained the word of God, the presence of God beneath the cherubim. It was a very holy thing. And so the ark of God, the things of God, the presence of God does not need the hand of man to steady it. Romans 10 and 3 says, remember, Paul was, he had such a great desire for Israel to be saved. And he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. It doesn't matter how sincere or how right you think you are. It is determined by God's standard of truth and righteousness. And it's possible to perish in the place of privilege through putting forth the hand instead of the heart. What do we see in Romans, the 11th chapter, verse 22? We see here Paul is talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about the chosen people, Israel. And he said, if God's, in verse 21, if God spared not the natural branches, referring to Israel, he's speaking to the Gentiles. Now take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, Israel, severity, but toward them, Gentiles, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Do you see, beloved, we have watered down the word of God today. We've made our God a weak, wimpy, loving, tolerant, well, that's all right, I understand. And He will not wink at sin, beloved. We serve a holy God, and we will be accountable to live according to God's standards. Now, he's a God of love and mercy and grace, but our heart must be right before God, and we must be willing to surrender our opinions, our thoughts, and do whatever God says to do. It is so important, beloved. There's so much going on today. And if there ever was a need, we need the fear of the Lord restored to the church. The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Join me in prayer, beloved, as you pray for the body of Christ, as for your own church, for the leaders in the body of Christ. Pray that we would have a right heart before God, and that in order to have God's presence, his power, his blessings, and the glory of God, we have to do things God's way. Amen. Well, my time is drawing to a close, and we're going to continue on in tomorrow's broadcast, and we're going to look at a little more positive result. We're going to see how David responded to this challenge, if you will, and that how he responded is to be how we respond. And so I invite you to be with me tomorrow at this same time. Should you miss a broadcast, always feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. I do thank you for joining me. I love you and pray for you every day. I'm so grateful for my faithful UCM partners. If it weren't for you and prayer support and finances, we couldn't continue. I love you. Pray for you, my radio family, also. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.